You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoop. And we're getting ready for the FIBA World Championships for Women in Turkey. They are starting up the 27th, so I am pleased to welcome our foreign correspondent, shall we say, coming from across the pond, Richard Cohn, also known as the WNBAlien, host of his website, very familiar with everything women's basketball. It's a pleasure to welcome Richie back to the podcast. Richie, how you doing today?
Yeah, good. Good to be here.
Well, Richie, you know, so most of the talk around here, of course, is focused on the United States and whether anybody could beat them and, you know, the roster gyrations that happened with the injuries to various key personnel, starting with Catchings and Parker and moving all the way through to the questions about Brittany Griner. But I would say that losing to France in an exhibition game certainly opened the eyes to people of the possibility that there are some other good international teams out there.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. are clear favorites, even after that result the other day against the French. I mean, it's the same as in the men's, as we saw in the World Cup a couple of weeks ago. The U.S. are beatable, but that doesn't mean they're going to get beat. They're still easily the most talented team in the tournament, but as always, the other teams have played together a lot longer. They're a lot more rested in general because all of these Americans have been playing in the WNBA for the last few months, and they've got a chance. There are teams with talent and teams who can give the US a test. It's whether they can keep it up for four quarters when the U.S. are playing like it means something.
You know, one thing that I have been trying to emphasize to people also that doesn't seem to be being picked up on by some people is that this isn't the WNBA. This is international basketball. The refereeing is different. Some of the rules are different. And certainly the style of play is different. And the Americans, while they do play, most of them do play overseas part of the year, they are not as familiar with the international game, especially the young players, as the veterans. And France really showed that when you see the performance of players that are marginal WNBA talents, like, you know, Celine Demerck in the past, and of course Sandrine Gruda just the other day. These players know the international game, and it is different than the WNBA.
It's true, yeah. I mean, one obvious difference will be we'll see more zone in this tournament than you tend to see in the WNBA because there's no defensive three-second rule. So you can hang around in the paint and collapse inside, and teams will do that against the US and hope they go cold from outside for a stretch. But, yeah, I mean, you see less one-on-one basketball, less isolations and people just trying to break down their defender off the dribble to try and score on their own, and more team basketball, a little bit more movement, ball movement, teams running down the clock. You probably see fewer possessions in general because the clock will be worked by teams looking for the best shot they can find. And yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, it still comes down to talent, which is obviously where the US have their edge. But the French, the Spanish, the Turks on their home court with the crowd behind them, the Australians maybe, although they've been hurt by injuries just as much as the US. I mean, all these teams have got more unity than the US. They haven't just come together a week or two before the tournament. And, yeah, they're more used to playing as a group, under FIBA rules, with FIBA refs.
Now, just to get people to understand how this works, in case that they're not familiar with this, you know, there's 16 teams, just to clarify, there's four groups. There's pool play amongst the original groups, and basically that eliminates one team, correct? Just those initial first rounds of games. And the top three all advance forward into the next phase.
Yes. Correct, although they've cut it down a little from the previous tournament. There used to be a second group stage where everyone advanced and then you played three teams from one of the other groups that were going through. They've got rid of that, What happens now is if you win the group, you go into the quarterfinals. You go direct to the quarters. If you come second or third, then you play in what they would call a round of 16, even though there's only technically 8 teams involved in it, to then play to get through to the quarterfinals. Basically, you go in into a knockout bracket, but you get to skip around if you win your group.
And then from there, they continually, once you're through the quarterfinals and you're down to 8 teams, basically, you're going to keep playing, but for lack of a better term, I'll call it the loser's bracket. 5, 6, 7, and 8 will play to determine those final spots, and 1 through 4 will eventually play in the championship in the consolation game. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of basketball if you want to see all of these teams play, which is all great news for fans of basketball everywhere. Now, the interesting thing is trying to figure out which teams can advance to where, and you mentioned something right away with Australia, and that's the fact that injuries are taking a toll already on rosters. You know, the loss of Elizabeth Cambage is huge to Australia in so many ways. Of course, we know about the injuries that the United States team had as well. But you just can't tell, you know, who's going to survive playing this many games in this many days and what kind of impact health is going to have on their unity and the way that these teams perform as well.
Yeah, and I mean, with the Australians, it's not just Cambage. It's that Suzy Batkovic pulled out from way back. Jenna O'Hay isn't playing. Someone else. Oh, well, obviously Lauren Jackson is injured yet again as well. You never know how healthy Penny Taylor's going to stay, although fortunately for Phoenix, she managed to get through their whole season.
Yes.
But yeah, the Australians will still have talent and will still be favourites to win their group, and therefore probably favourites to meet the US in the semi-finals. But they could be an awful lot stronger than they're going to be.
You know, and we also, what's interesting this time is there's a few teams that are having debuts that have not been there before. Mozambique and Angola both are making their debuts, not that they expect to really make a lot of noise. I thought there was a great comment from the Angolan coach they were asked about the injuries to the United States team, and it's kind of said, well, if you're a contender, maybe that matters, but for us, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
Yeah, Angola, you've got and Mozambique are just going to be trying to stay as close as they can. I mean, both of them are in groups with 3 decent teams, so they're more than likely going to win the tournament 0-3 at the end of their groups.
Mozambique, just also so people know, is the 38th ranked team according to the current FIBA rankings. That puts them as the lowest team in this bracket. Angola is 20th, and Serbia, also in the United States group, is 29th. So, you know, the United States didn't exactly get the most difficult bracket. I don't think you could call this group the group of death for the World Championships.
Oh, no. I mean, this is one of the reasons that it may not be that big of a deal that Brittany Griner is taking her sweet time joining up with the team. If she actually makes it to Europe at some point, she's going to have the whole group stage to play into shape if she needs to get sort of game fitness back after a couple of weeks off, and to try and build some chemistry with the whole squad, because the 3 group games, they should win comfortably. I mean, Serbia are a decent team, not particularly consistent, but I mean, they're all right. China are okay, but are missing a couple of key players from the previous teams that we've known in the past, so exactly what they'll produce, who knows. But yeah, the US shouldn't be troubled until the quarterfinals at the earliest.
You know, and you know, when you get over to Group C, which is the one the United States obviously will face, you know, you have Australia and all those players that we talked about, plus, you know, Aaron Phillips also joins the team. Their point guard, Australian Leilani Mitchell, is a part of this group now, who had not been there before. And, of course, Belinda Snell is still shooting more 3-pointers per minute than anybody should normally be allowed to shoot. So Australia is still going to be a lot of fun to watch. The Belarus is ranked number 10 in FIBA's rankings right now. The one team that's got me, I can't believe when I was reading about it, is number 11th ranked Korea. Now, that's number 11 with their squad, except for the fact
yeah,
that
which
they
they're not sending.
Them.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain about that one?
Basically, they have different priorities. They presumably feel like whoever they send to the World Championships, they're not likely to win anything or sort of progress to anywhere that they'd care about. So their main squad is preparing for the Asian Games, which they feel like, presumably, they can and want to try and win. So they basically sent a B squad, or a youth team, to go and play at the Worlds. So that might help Cuba.
Their average age is 23 years old, and their best player is 6'5" Jisoo Park, who was born 4 years before Sue Bird played her first World Championships game. She's 15.
Well, it'll be good experience would be the positive angle on that, I suppose. But, yeah, it's probably not going to make them terribly competitive, but you never know. It might make them interesting. Cuba are usually fun to watch. Belarus are incredibly inconsistent. Again, you never know quite what you're going to get from them. So, yeah, and Australia are obviously still scrambling a little to work out how they're going to play without Cambage. So it could be an interesting group, Group C, just because it might be a little bit scrambled.
Now, let's continue to move across the board. You get to Group B, and France is the number 4 team in the world. Canada is number 9, Turkey 13, and there's our friends from Mozambique. They're the 38th ranked team. Now, you know, France obviously has some very special talent on that team. Canada also has some good players that we should keep our eye on. But, you know, the host team, once you get into these things, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that Turkey is hosting, their fans are rabid, and that always can have an impact.
Yeah, and, I mean, even if it was being held anywhere, Turkey are a relatively dangerous team to begin with. And, yeah, with the crowd behind them, they're going to be a threat. They've got some fun, exciting guards, sort of Alban, Bardali, Kaglar, Tunkler. They're quick. They can light it up on occasion from outside. They've got Nevri Yilmaz inside, who's one of the few true post players we'll see in the tournament. Latoya Pringle / Sanders, who people will remember from the WNBA. Yeah, they're a solid team, and as we always see in these tournaments, there'll be a lot of games without much atmosphere, and then the crowds will come piling in when the home team's on the floor. So you never know what might happen when they get out there. Sometimes teams freeze under the pressure of playing on the home court where they're supposed to win, like Spain just did in the men's tournament. But, yeah, hopefully it'll push them on.
Well, they're going to kick it off on the 27th against France in their first game. And, of course, as we mentioned, you know, with Gruda, Dumerc, Gomez, you know, France is certainly a tough team and is going to be a legitimate candidate to medal here. You know, I did want to mention Canada as well. Canada, you know, they're a young team. They're missing some pieces. And, you know, I know they would have liked to have had Natalie Achanwa on the team as a post. Kayla Alexander from the WNBA's San Antonio Stars joined the team too late to make the team. She would have been a center to play on there. But they have, you know, a pair of pluffs that played NCAA, you know, solid ball at Utah and Marquette. You know, Fields from UCLA is on that team, and Kia Nurse, the girl that's going to be a freshman at UConn. But Kim Smith-Goucher is still the leader on that team. And, you know, they're a team that, you know, they are ranked ninth. They are a legitimate shot to keep Turkey from advancing. But it's going to be tough. I think that's going to be more interesting groups with those three teams and Mozambique.
That's, yeah, probably the closest we've got to a group of death, if you like, which everyone always looks for, in that those three teams at the top of that group can all beat each other. France will go in as favourites because they've been one of the strongest teams in Europe for several years now. But they've lost a few players from the team that just barely lost Eurobasket last year. They lost Lawson Wade retired, but more importantly, in the centre, they lost Isabel Yakubu, who didn't want to play this year. Emeline Ndong retired as well. So they're a little bit thinner in the middle than they used to be. But they'll still be strong. And they're probably, you could argue between them and Spain probably to decide who are favourites to meet the US in the final, I would think.
Which is, of course, the perfect segue to head over to Group A and talk about Spain. But you know, the first thing I want to talk about with Spain, though, is who's not there. I mean, this is the first time in, I think, 820 years that Valdemaro is not playing in a major international tournament.
You got to retire sometime. Father Time beats us all in the end.
It's just too bad. It was always great to see her running down the court. You know, I thought that Janet Arcane was going to play forever for Brazil, and you know that she ended up retiring too eventually. And I guess Valdemaro had to retire as well. But you know, Spain is certainly a team worth discussing. You know, WNBA fans know about Sancho Little, and now they know about Ana Cruz too. But Alba Torrens is a very special player who I hope someday to see here in Connecticut if she'll come over. But it goes even beyond that. I mean, Martinez, Dominguez, they all have WNBA background. And Leticia Romero certainly made enough headlines here that people will be interested in seeing her play after the Kansas State fiasco. But, you know, as you mentioned, Spain is certainly they're number six in the world. They've got a tough group in Group A, but they are certainly a favorite to advance and be a strong candidate to make it to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, Torrens is your successor to Valdemaro, basically. There's similar aspects to their game as well. They've both got that little bit of flair, that little bit of extra added something. The je ne sais quoi, if we were going to go back to the French. But they're strong. They know how to play as a unit. Little's fit in well since joining up and becoming Spanish a few years ago. Unfortunately, that means we don't get to see Astur Ndur playing for them because you can only have one naturalized player per team. So until Little pulls out, Ndur can't play for the full Spanish squad. But what they've got left, they're a strong team. They've got solid guards who can run, they can shoot. They'll be a threat to everybody, including the US, although, I mean, they obviously don't have the talent of the US, but this is a group that they've been playing together a lot longer. They know each other, they can compete. And, yeah, I would expect them to win that group relatively comfortably, because Brazil aren't the powers that they used to be. The Czechs aren't that strong either. And then you've got another fairly ordinary Asian team rounding out the group. But, yeah, Spain ought to go through relatively comfortably.
Yeah, I mean, this is the group that if you looked at the FIBA rankings, you would say, wow, that's a tough group. But you're right. I had the same thoughts in looking through them, that Brazil, you know, obviously Erica is still, you know, one of the dominant centers in the league. You know, and Dantas showed that she's quite a talent, too. But they're not, like you said, like the Brazil of old. And the Czech Republic team looked very ordinary in their scrimmage against the United States. Of course, you do have the 2010 top scorer in the tournament in Yugo Oga back for Japan. So that's always something to watch in the competition, too. But
yeah, sometimes the top scorer comes from just bad teams because they've only got one or two players who take any shots. We see the same thing with Great Britain and Joanna Leedham, once or twice in tournaments as well, because we've only got a couple of scorers, so they get to shoot a lot.
I didn't say how many shots it took her to become the leading scorer.
Yeah.
But yes, you have to figure that Spain is certainly the leading candidate to come out of that group without being tested or pushed too hard. So, you know, once you start getting to this far, Richie, you know, now you're looking at probably, you know, we said a Spain, France, Australia, United States Final Four, and that's a pretty impressive group.
Yeah, I mean, you always look at the bracket at the start of a tournament and think and work out how it should go, and there isn't that much depth in international women's basketball, so there probably won't be too many upsets. But chances are it won't all work out like that. Someone will end up messing up. And, I mean, Australia in the quarterfinals are going to have to play either the team that comes second in the Spain-Czech-Brazil group or the team that comes third in the France-Canada-Turkey group. So that could end up being, say, Turkey-Australia in the quarterfinals on Turkey's home floor for the right to play the US in the semis. And, yeah, the Aussies will be nervous if they're going into a game like that.
Yeah, there's bound
to be an upset somewhere.
Oh, yeah, no question. There always is. Somebody always underperforms and overperforms in a big spot. That's, you know, part of what makes the world champion for the Olympic Games fun. Seeing how these are all incredible athletes, and, you know, but being able to perform all the time under pressure is what makes them truly special, and that's what you see in these types of competitions. Who is going to be that person and who isn't?
Yeah, and obviously we hope we see the best of the US, which, I mean, they haven't been looking great in a lot of these warm-up games. A lot of sort of star players like Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi, looking like they're a bit tired out from all of their WNBA exertions. So hopefully we want to see competitive games, but you also want to see these teams show the best that they can produce. And if the US do that, they'll walk through the tournament with ease. So you sort of want to find a nice happy medium where we get to see the best of them, but we also get to see them tested. Someone shows up to actually give them some competition.
You know, you mentioned the fact that some of the United States players, certainly, definitely more, Taurasi or two of them out of the top of your head, that have struggled so far in the exhibition season. What will be interesting to see, I think, is if a game gets tough, like in the game against France, is will Ariema just stick to his guns and go with the big names? Or will he say, you know, in a game, you know, Maya Moore, I know that you averaged 40-something points in China, you're WNBA MVP, and you took me to a championship, but you aren't hitting the side of a barn tonight, and I'm going to go with somebody else in that slot. It'll be interesting to see if, in fact, or if he just tightens up the rotations and goes with just those players.
Well, we have seen, there was a key stretch when they had Asia Jones come in. Was it 4 years ago? And basically helped turn a game around against Australia when Cambage had lit them up in the first half and then did nothing in the second half. So he has shown a willingness to go to his bench and use whoever's been effective on the given night on occasion. But yeah, I mean, this is always the problem for coaches of the American team. You've got to find a way to bring this squad together. You got so many talented players. And for all the criticism that Auriemma gets for supposedly picking all of his own favourites for the squad and all his own players, he has to have faith in who he's putting on the floor. But we'll see. Yeah, it's always one of the interesting things, because also when you're playing so many games where you're winning by 20 or 30 points in the early stages of the tournament, you don't really get to see who he'd be using if it was a competitive game. So we may not find out till the semi-finals or even the final what he would do in that situation.
And you get these catch-22s there in a case where, okay, you want to build for the future, so you want to take people like Odyssey Sims, you want to take Breonna Stewart, NECA, Gwumike, you want to take these players to cultivate them for the future and put them on your bench. But the thing about the veteran players, perhaps like a Gentile Lavender, is this is somebody that at least, you know, you think can come off the bench and contribute immediately. You know that they're used to coming off the bench at times and doing things. Can the youngsters do that? You know, that was the big plus about Cash and Jones. Like you said, Jones could have sat out three games and then suddenly get thrown into the mix, and Auriemma was able to get, knew that he would get something out of her. I wonder with the youngsters, because they haven't done it. They're used to playing 35 minutes a game. You know, and it's a different role and a different pressure.
It's true. I mean, with the people who've pulled out through injury or semi-injury or whatever, it has opened up spots for the committee to take some of the youngsters without it being much of a stretch. I mean, if no one had pulled out from the U.S. squad, then it looked like it was probably going to be 10 veterans, Griner and Deladon, and that was going to be it. They weren't going to be able to sort of to guide anyone in as the new pick at the point guard position to take over from Whalen and Bird once they move on. They weren't going to be able to add anyone else into the rotation. But because so many people have dropped out, now they've got a chance to work in some of the youngsters. And, I mean, in general, the 11th and 12th player aren't going to play much anyway.
Right.
So having them be youngsters who are there to get some experience in the blowouts, learn what tournament basketball's about, and then sit there and watch for 40 minutes once you're playing in the knockout stages or in a tight game, generally wouldn't be that big of a deal. It's only going to, no one's going to talk about that unless something catastrophic happens, basically.
Well, you know, you never know. You know how the fans are that are out there on Twitter and on the message boards. They're going to talk about it regardless, whether they're up by 60 or by 10.
And if the U.S. don't win this tournament, then all the Diggins fans will say it was because they didn't take her, or, yeah, everyone will find a nice new reason to bitch and moan.
But, you know, if nothing else, when that happens, at least it'll make my college season a little bit more enjoyable, since I get to hear things about Gino that I'm not going to hear during the college season with the schedule that UConn has lined up in conference. So at least it gives them something.
They're basically not playing anyone anymore because they're in a conference against a bunch of scrubs, right?
Correct.
I don't follow that much of the college basketball, but that's the impression I've generally got.
Picture the United States playing Mozambique every game.
Yeah.
and that's what it's usually like. So they just announced the final selections of the USA team, and Brittany Griner is coming and joining the team. That is official now. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Gentile Lavender, but unfortunately she becomes the final person to get cut from the team. But with the absence of Cambage and some of the other centers, you know, I just don't think that they needed a third center on this team.
No, I mean, teams like France and Spain don't have huge post threats that they need three centers to necessarily deal with. Even though you only get five fouls in FIBA basketball rather than the six you're working with in WNBA, if the worst happened and either Charles or Griner got hurt and then the other one got in foul trouble, something like that, then someone like Ogwumike ought to be able to guard the primary post threat for Spain, for France, without too much trouble. You don't have any massive behemoths to worry about too much in the paint. So yeah, I don't blame them for making that cut. It makes sense, really.
I think the other thing that might have contributed to it was in watching a little bit of the game against the Czech Republic, the final exhibition game. You know, they had a second unit out there of Waylon Augustus McCautry, Stewart, and Agwumike, and they looked smooth. They looked really good together. They played very, very well and seemed to really be on the same page. So I think the fact that playing Agwumike with her rebounding and Stewart with her shot blocking is a good combination that gave them a little bit more of a comfort zone in being able to let Lavender go and not go with that third center. So, Richie, you know, if you were to keep an eye on any one player, we talked about a whole bunch of them, to put a bow on this, who would you recommend that people should keep an eye out for, not on the U.S. team, somebody that you were, that you're really looking forward to seeing? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, well, I think we talked about her a little already, but Torrens is one of the people you would want to watch that no one, that most people in the U.S. won't have got to see much of because she's never made it over for the WNBA yet. She's got a lot of talent. She can drive. She can shoot. She can do it all. She's got a little bit of flair to her. So, yeah. And it'll be nice to see players like Demerck and Gruda in their element playing with France rather than... Because, I mean, people like me talk about these European players and the talent that they've got and how much of an impact they can theoretically make in the WNBA, and then sometimes they come over and we see seasons like what Gruda and Demerck just put up, which was Demerck barely being able to hit a shot all year long and Gruda spending most of the season on the bench in LA. But these people can play. They're stars in Europe. Both of them have been stars for a long time. So it'll be good to hopefully see them show up and show exactly what they can do.
I think that you're absolutely right. That those are absolutely the three people that I had in mind, because I agree with you. I mean, I saw Demerck play overseas. You know, I've seen her games. You know, and what we saw in the WNBA was not the same type of player. She just seemed to have her wings clipped a little bit. And Gruda, as you mentioned, plays so strong. And I'm personally excited to watch Torrens play some more. You're right. She has that flair, that special gift that makes her not only a talented player but a fun player. So, you know, I think that it's going to be a lot of fun basketball, and I do think that we probably do still have – I think we're still going to probably end up with the top four seeds making it as far as they are. But I do think that we're going to see some really close games, some surprises, and some upsets along the way in various places. Richard Cohn, Richie, the WNBAalien.com. Again, that's 1A, WNBAlien. Check out his blog and his website. He's one of the most informative and well-read basketball fans that you're going to find out there. It's been a pleasure having you back on the podcast. Thanks again.
Good to be here. Thanks.
And we'll talk again soon. Enjoy, everybody, enjoy the World Championships.